You're listening to the Modern Vital podcast, which explores the relationship between environmental factors and human health. Here is your host, Dr. Ben Reeves, founder of Portland Clinic of Natural Health and creator of MVP 90, a 90-day health protocol customized to each individual health journey. Stay tuned for fun, practical, and thought-provoking health tips, along with suggestions and insights into optimizing health and preventing chronic disease through integrative, naturopathic, and functional medicine approaches. Your body is unique, powerful, and intelligent. Your treatment should be too.
On today's episode of the Modern Vital podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about environmental factors that can play a role in sleep apnea. And on today's episode, we have a special guest in Corinne Jarvis, founder of BreatheWorks, and a speech-language pathologist, or SLP, specializing in sleep apnea and all things related to sleep, particularly with regard to sleep-disordered breathing issues in children. Corinne is also an orofacial myologist looking at orofacial myofunctional disorders, or OMD, conditions involving the lips, the jaw, the tongue position at rest, and looking at swallowing and speech. Corinne, a Vermont native, brings extensive expertise to her own practice since opening her first in New York in 2006. Specializing in orofacial myofunctional disorders and sensory motor feeding therapy, she has received fellowship training in autism, parent training, and treatment. Corinne's career has expanded to include educating and mentoring graduate clinicians while utilizing additional modalities such as craniosacral and manual therapy to address structural and physiological disorders. Welcome to the show, Corinne.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
It's so great to have you. So I'd love to hear a little bit about what led you down this path. Why did you become an SLP and what led you to sleep apnea?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting path. It's a newer path for speech pathologists, actually. I think that we've been addressing a lot of dysfunction that relates to speech or sleep apnea for a long time. But now more and more speech pathologists are seeking out how can we be a piece of the puzzle in treating sleep apnea and airway dysfunction. I have always been interested in the musculoskeletal approach, kind of more like a physical therapist might take since the very beginning of my career. And so I really was all about how we can change muscle function to improve overall function of speech, of cognition, of how our body feels, how we digest, how we chew and swallow our food. So it's always been the foundation. And about, I'd say 10 years, I was finally had a time where I could take the official training to become an orofacial myologist and specialist. And it really brought a new lens of a community of who we work very closely with. So it really becomes more of a team interdisciplinary approach. I've always trailed my career in this way, and have just landed my dream career right now.
So can you tell us a little more, like what does orofacial myology entail? Like what is it looking at particularly?
Yeah. So form follows function. I always like to tell our patients that, the form of our structures, the muscular, you know, our skeleton, the length of our bones, it's all following what our muscle patterns are doing. So if we have a restriction or a tightness on one side, our bones through development might not form the same as if they didn't have that asymmetry. So what our tongue, our lips, our jaw muscles are doing, our muscles of respiration, and overall muscles of body posture, what they're doing repetitively is going to affect the shape and maturation of the bones. So, you know, we work pediatrics, infants through geriatrics, and has a different lens for each age. But orofacial myology is the you know, oral mechanism. Myo is for muscle, and then is for function. So orofacial myology is really the study of the oral muscle function. So we use our oral musculatures in clearing our teeth after we eat a sandwich. We use it to speak. We use it to chew, swallow. And then we have our overall resting posture. And all of those determine the structure, how it comes out.
Right. So what are some environmental factors that you see, like main ones that could impact this, could mediate this, could change this, say in early stages of life?
Yeah, great question. I mean, there's so many. I think that allergens, inflammation are huge ones. You know, we are all living right now in our population that we treat is in the Pacific Northwest. So we are treating very high allergens. We have a lot of molds here. And any inflammation that can cause congestion or just general inflammation in the nasal pharynx and the pharyngeal structures can alter how we develop or the compensations that we might start doing because we have more blockage or inflammation in certain areas. So I like to think it's all about flow, right? It's all about the flow of our bodies. It's about how we process things. It's how we about move things through our bodies. And if you have a congestion, whether it's from allergies, whether it's from food allergies or environmental, from this mold toxicity, I mean, it has a huge impact on how we breathe, which can lead to things that are imbalanced, like sleep apnea or sleep disorder breathing, and lots of other, swallowing issues and speech.
So then do you occasionally see that where somebody, a child comes to you with a dysfunction, and then you identify a mold toxicity or an allergy, and then you clear that, and then the dysfunction goes away?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I just treated an 8-year-old today, and the tongue posture was completely forward. And it's thinking, why is that tongue wanting to sit forward in this child's mouth, right? So I took a look, took a deep dive down the throat, and I looked to see the tonsils are, maybe a level 2 out of 4. So they're not completely blocking the airway, but there's definitely inflammation, and then we start to probe around, tell me a little about where you're at in your life. Have you moved? Do you have any changes? Do you have a pet in the house? And you start to hear patterns of, we've actually had a pet or a high allergen, or we found out that we have a food intolerance, and it's causing a lot of wreaking havoc in the body. When we start to remove those things or treat for molds, when those issues are a piece of the puzzle, we can then start working on the muscle function to strengthen it to get back towards optimal function. Because once you can remove those allergens, the environmental factors, then it's the secret recipe to then strengthen the habits that or unwind the habits that might have been occurring, and then strengthen the structures to get towards optimal function.
Wow, that's really inspiring. So do you sometimes see that a child had it maybe for 5 or 6 years or longer, and then you help remove the thing, and then it takes maybe many months to kind of get back to an optimal level? Like how do you get back to optimal?
Absolutely. I mean, we see so many patients that have been in speech therapy for years. I mean, years. And, there are oral habits that maybe just the articulation is off, or maybe the swallow function is off, and they just can't seem to correct it, right? They can't be told where to put their tongue or how to do things or exercise without that other layer. And then we start to kind of peeling back, what's underneath, and let's look at the case history and look for patterns, and then bring somebody in like you, Dr. Briggs, to really identify that foundation piece for inflammation. And that's when we can then treat and discharge within a couple months. I mean, it's a completely different story.
Wow. Well, I was reading on up to date recently, and I think up to 925 million individuals worldwide are estimated to have some form of OSA or obstructive sleep apnea. And that's not even really looking at children, I don't think, because it's usually adults that are over 30 years old. But how often are children, evincing or displaying symptoms of sleep apnea and it being underdiagnosed and not even seen, or maybe it's being misdiagnosed as asthma or chronic allergies or something else, or maybe completely missed?
Oh my gosh, so many. I mean, if you think about it, people are really used to seeing their kids sleep with their mouth open. That's not ringing any red bells or warning for most of the parents until we start to kind of pull some signs and symptoms and say, hey, you're having signs and symptoms with digestion. Oh, you're having signs and symptoms focusing and paying attention in class, or, you know, you have chronic throat infections or, you know, something. When we start to talk about the signs and symptoms, then they realize, hey, this person, this child, this adult may have been mouth breathing and letting so many more allergens through directly into their, you know, pharyngeal system, and they're bypassing that whole beautiful filtration system that we have. I think it's feeling like the norm now to be able, oh yeah, this person snores, and that's acceptable and the norm. But it's such a warning sign. And if you start to take those people that are just even mouth breathing at night, not even snoring, or mouth closed and snoring through their nose, or, you know, looking for those and asking them about signs, are you having signs and symptoms with allergies? Are you having signs and symptoms with digestion? Maybe like feeling like it's hard to swallow things, and focus and attention and honestly overall mental health. We start to pull those pieces together and say, what's going on in that airway and that, you know, oral pharyngeal system. And I mean, it's we're seeing so much of the population, from, you know, pediatrics all the way up to geriatrics. Yeah.
So how often
it's frustrating that we
can't benefit. That's so frustrating. Right. Absolutely. So how often are we seeing sleep apnea that really hasn't been looked at all from an orofacial myological perspective?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the traditional, you know, routine for people to get, you know, if somebody is really going to, they're not honestly screened very often by their primary care providers to see if that might be a contributing factor. But if they are going to the primary care providers and saying, this is something that is having an effect on my life, that's typically the people that start to get, you know, tracked into. Then they go for a sleep study, maybe to an ear, nose, and throat doctor to make sure that they have clear nasal patency and airway patency. And then if they qualify for sleep apnea, they're usually given two choices, one being a CPAP. And with that decision, it's a wonderful resource for acute issues, but they're never given a way to unwind needing that as a tool for the rest of their life. And it has a lot of, you know, trial and error that goes with it to get it to be a useful tool. And the other one being a mandibular advancement device, where, you know, it's kind of like a retainer that they wear to advance their mandible to give themselves more airway so that, you know, you don't have those apnea episodes. But again, those are a great tool for acute issues, but they, over time, they elongate, you know, the tendons that can't go back, you know, that you can't unwind some of the effects that has on your overall musculatures over time. So, the therapy is just now starting to get more attention. We have very solid research that shows that we can improve sleep apnea with muscle function therapy and with a skeletal, you know, musculoskeletal approach. But just now, sleep centers are starting to recognize, primary care physicians are starting to recognize, it's slow going.
I'm really intrigued by the title of your company, BreatheWorks. And I know that you and I had gotten together, we'd had lunch, and you were talking all about the connection between the diaphragm and sleep apnea, and how you'll assess the diaphragm, you'll assess breathing patterns. It's so profound. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you do?
Yeah. So the tongue base, you know, this is kind of where we have our specialty on our team, but that tongue base has a direct, you know, central fossa line right to the diaphragm. And so if this is tight or misused or habitually weak, so is that diaphragm. And we have three layers of valves in our body. We have our tongue, we need to valve for swallowing, and we have our diaphragm that we valve throughout our body, then we have our pelvic floor, and they're very interconnected through the fascial web and how they move. So oftentimes when the tongue is low resting and not lightly suctioned to the roof of their mouths, like optimally we would like them to be, that diaphragm is weaker or tighter or doesn't have as much mobility as what we would like. So we tend to see more upper clavicular breathers. So they're breathing, when you take a deep breath, it's all up here and it's not into the diaphragm, light and right into, you know, that kind of three-dimensional diaphragmatic breathing that calms the nervous system. So, you know, you can actually affect your nervous system with your breath. So you can upregulate your nervous system and deregulate your nervous system. And with that upper clavicular shallow breathing, you can upregulate your nervous system. So if you're doing that all the time, people tend to be in more fight or flight mindset versus rest and digest and focused and calm. So it has, you know, it has a big effect. That tongue relational piece to the diaphragm is really important. So day one, we're giving exercises not only for the mouth and the oral pharyngeal system, but for the diaphragm and, you know, overall body posture, because that's another piece of the puzzle with, you know, environmental allergies or, you know, inflammation, is that we tend to bring our head forward to open the airway, creating more of a forward head posture. And then it affects the whole chain of events of how our muscles and our the function of our body wants to kind of sit and posture.
And Corinne, you had said that, you know, it seems like it's almost the norm now that there's some kind of breathing disorder, some kind of sleep disorder or apneic issue. I know that a lot of holistic practitioners are seeing sicker and sicker people, you know, than a decade ago or so. I'm curious, what degree do you think our environmental exposure is playing in this, you know, in airway inflammation, you know, just with all the millions and millions of pesticides and persistent organic pollutants and electromagnetic fields, things that we're exposed to that we weren't exposed to nearly as much at even 10 or 20 years ago. You know, kids are holding handhelds as they fall asleep. I'm curious, like, without falling off off the deep end, just what role do you think that's playing in this?
I think it's a fundamental role. I think it is the absolute tipping point of pushing everything into the norm, is that piece that it's everywhere. I mean, it's really, really hard to create a non-toxic environment. You know, it's a lot of work. I think it plays it sets the foundation for our bodies to be able to tolerate less, right? We have a lot of compensations that are beautiful in our body, but they can't be done, you know, overused for the long term. So I think that environmental air quality, what we're able to tolerate with our bodies is plays the fundamental role in this being kind of we're seeing it everywhere. And by reducing those, we can then easily access the muscle systems and retrain things. But it takes 10 times longer to even make a bump in overall body function when you're still struggling off of a weak foundation from this kind of toxins.
Well, what are a couple of, we can wrap up here in a minute, but what are a couple of practical tips you can give people, you know, maybe pearls that one could take with them without having to necessarily go in to see, you know, an expert like yourself? What are a couple of things people could do right now who are maybe struggling, you know, they're like, oh yeah, my partner is snoring, or my child, I walk into the room and they're breathing through their mouth half the time.
Yeah. I think first of all, number one is educating, like understanding where our tongue is supposed to be in our mouth, because our tongue is like our natural palatal expander and our lips are like our natural braces. So if the tongue is out, we tend to see a higher arched palate. And whenever we gain, you know, vertical space in our mouth, we're taking it away from the nasal pharynx. We're taking it away from our nose. So we want to keep our tongue lightly suctioned to the roof of the mouth, within our dental margins, day in, day out. That is actually your optimal tongue resting posture. Not a strong tension where you're really creating more tension, but just a nice light suction, the tip, the middle, and the back to the roof of the mouth. We want lips closed, but we don't want to create extra tension. So that's half of our job, is to look for compensations that are actually causing more harm than they're gaining improvement. So we look for, you know, too much tension in the mentalis and your chin muscles. Are you, you know, the mobility and kind of what are you engaging to get that posture? And that's kind of where we come into play. If you are having a hard time keeping your tongue lightly suctioned to the roof of the mouth and your lips closed and breathing through your nose and your head over your shoulders, then we want to ask why, right? And a piece of that puzzle could be that overall inflammation throughout the body. But then we want to strengthen and unwind and retrain your brain and your body on how to deal with that. Because nasal breathing is so important. I mean, you get 20% more oxygen through your nasopharynx than you do through your oral pharynx. You know, mouth breathing and sleep apnea is now, there's research showing it linking to dementias, to, you know, Alzheimer's, and, you know, so many, you know, other cardiac problems. That tends to be how I get kind of the typical snorer population, if you start talking about that, because oftentimes they don't really care that they're snoring. People generally care when they have sleep apnea, because that's a much higher level of dysfunction. But, you know, if we start talking about, A, you get 20% more oxygen to your brain and to your muscles if you're breathing through your nose, and you know, that tongue up into your palate, lightly suctioned, that is your natural exercise. So that's when, you know, when we see the tongue low resting, it's not getting its exercise by being lightly suctioned to the roof of the mouth. So if that's difficult, then seeking some therapy, you know, this is, you know, this under your speech therapy benefits is for medical insurance, it's covered, and something that, you know, just you need maybe a couple of sessions to get there, or, you know, a couple months of sessions. But it's something that is non-invasive and a really easy way to improve overall, you know, in dealing with inflammation and filtering with breathing, with your breath work.
I didn't realize that we get 20% more oxygen. I do know studies show that we produce more glutathione when we breathe through our nose, but that's probably the reason, right? I mean, we get more oxygen to the mitochondria, and the liver makes more of our master antioxidant glutathione indirectly, probably.
Yeah, and the nitric dioxide. Yeah, the nitric oxide plays a big role in how we bind and uptake that oxygen.
Well, Corinne, thank you so much.
That you bypass.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can schedule with us online. We take most in medical insurances. My website is breatheworks.com, and that's with an E in the middle. And we have locations in Lake Oswego, Eugene, Northeast Portland, and Camas. And we also treat over teletherapy.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, I really appreciate you and all the work that you do.
That concludes today's episode of the Modern Vital Podcast. We would love to hear from you. We value your feedback. If you have any questions or suggestions, please reach out to me at ben@modernvital.com and leave us a review if you enjoyed this episode. We look forward to having you join us next week for another exciting episode of the Modern Vital Podcast.